Hey, this is Bob the Drag Queen, and you are listening to Friends of Dorothy.
Two Irish queens full of pride, always on grinder, looking for the ride. We're camping queer and super gay with the Friends of Dorothy. Here to show you the way. Here to show you the way. Here to show you the way. Here to show you the way.
Hold on now. Which way?
This way.
Aye. Tits and teeth, tits and teeth. Kiki sold seashells down by the seashore.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
Okay, week 4, episode 4. Kiki St. Clair, how are you? I don't care.
Oh, another rhyme. Another rhyme to kick off.
Another rhyme.
Episode 4. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm really taking after my mom, Sylvia. Or Miss Plath, as you used to call
her. Miss Plath. Yeah, I'm good. I've decided we probably should not talk about the weather this week, because I realise in the first 2 to 3 episodes we have spoken about the weather.
We've talked about the weather and we've talked about weight.
Oh, would like to update you all on my weight loss journey, though. She's down 4 pounds. Hi. New year, new me.
Are you, girl?
It's been really fucking tough.
I'm so proud of you.
5K a day. Not pleasant.
5K a day. Okay.
Yeah. Smoothies.
Smoothies. She's on the smoothie bus too. I did fall off my Wonderly wagon since the last time I've spoken to you. And I had a bit of a disastrous weekend. 4 bottles of wine, 2 bottles of Prosecco, and anything in sight to eat. I went through it. But I'm back on the wagon. And so 4 pounds. Okay. So by next week, I have to be down 5 pounds to try and beat you.
Wait till the end of this pod, it'll just be these two emaciated models, you know? You're looking great after your little alcohol binge, I must say. I mean, it does a body good.
Should we reveal to the listeners that this is actually our second take of trying to record this intro? Because we did try to record this 2 days ago, and minutes before minutes before recording, I was getting sick into the toilet. I just obviously haven't had a good drink in so long, and I went and bought a barbecue because the sun was out. I know we're not talking about weather, but the sun was out. And I went and bought a barbecue and was like, oh, I'll have a little glass of wine. And then it turned into 3 bottles of wine and 2 bottles of Prosecco. And suddenly anything that was in the fridge, which was, you know, beer and cider. And I was on the floor in my kitchen at 3 a.m. singing Barbara Streisand somewhere. And Papa, can you hear me?
What's Easter about?
That's what I was celebrating in advance. So, I mean, apart from our drunk scandals and our weight highlights, you may have seen us in the press this week, which, you know, we are finally allowed to legally speak about. Myself and Kiki were detained after arriving back from Dubai after getting a little, what would you call it, a little work done.
A little surge. Okay, let's just say we got bubbies. We've got bubbies. Big old bubbies. Dubai bubbies. It was worth it. I don't care.
Let's actually fucking talk about this. I only saw this in the paper yesterday because I was only coming around to the national news. So this is two housewives from Dublin get detained.
Yeah, so they went off to Dubai to get their tits done. I do believe, no shame, everyone's entitled to get that done. That's a lovely time. What they're not entitled to do is come back off the airplane, run away from the mandatory hotel quarantine and ensue a Gardaí chase or assignment looking for these people. And they found them, they went to court, and now they're back in quarantine again with their new boobs. But like, scarlet for them if they were trying to be secretive about their surgery, because there's pictures of them all over the papers.
All over the place. They couldn't just stay in a fucking hotel for 2 weeks. There were mothers as well. Like, that would have been a lovely break.
Yeah, exactly. And don't even get me started on this quarantine. These stupid ass middle class white women bitching about having to stay in a 4-star hotel is what they're being offered for quarantine here in Ireland. And they're bitching about that. What about our refugees?
And they're bitching about that.
And our direct provision people. Yeah. Ridiculous carry on.
That's such a great point, actually. Not to get too political, but yeah, fuck them.
Oh, girl, did you see me on my Facebook for any kids listening out there?
Oh, I saw it, girl. I saw it, girl, and I was like, hope this doesn't affect the pod.
I was just having a day of it last week, although somebody messaged me like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Oh my God, like standing on top of your bungalow in Leash, about to jump. That is mad, though. I still can't get over that. Like, how... Are these people not checked when going to the airport? I hardly think like a boob enlargement is, you know, priority number one.
Yeah, I don't know how they got around that. Maybe it was, I have no idea. No idea.
Lied about something else. I just think that's disgraceful. And then didn't I read that it said that they couldn't afford their legal bills because all they had is like child support. And it was like, You just spent thousands on flights to Dubai to get boob enlargement, and now you're saying you can't pay the legal fees because you couldn't stay in a 4-star hotel for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disgraced.
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 Disgusted. Appalled.
Okay, so we would like to obviously official release an official apology to all of you. We are sorry we did it, but we do look great.
Yeah, I mean, hi. Come on, OnlyFans. Check it out if you want to see the gods. The Dubai gods.
I do wonder, like, I know this comes up constantly with the two of us. It's just that it's progressively getting worse. Like, when can we get our Botox? And, like, when is that going to be lifted?
Lifted? We need a fucking lift, is right.
No, like, when is the ban going to be lifted? Yeah, but, like, when are we going to be stretched and tightened? And, I mean, you know when you're doing your makeup and you're obviously, like, staring in a Zoom mirror? Like, it's a magnified mirror. It's just too much for me. I'm like, oh, my God. I have one, I mean, I'm not to complain. I just have one wrinkle. But it's
just
it's very
one
prominent.
Little wrinkle, yeah. You know, that's the only reason I like it as well, is because the makeup just sinks into the crevices on my forehead and I hate it. But other than that, I'm not shallow or self-conscious. No. It's just got to do with makeup,
not at all. Maybe we will book a little trip to Dubai before next week's pod.
Honest God. We could do a little hotel quarantine and a little 4-star then as well.
Oh, see, I mean, I know that there's probably people coming over with, like, worse stories than that, and there's probably people escaping their countries for good reason or trying to get home. Maybe they have been, you know, stuck in countries for months and they couldn't get home to Ireland, so I understand that. But for the likes of them, those women, like, staying in a 4-star hotel is a second holiday and all your meals are brought to you and everything, like, fuck right off.
I know, bullshit, like. Girls, get your shit together.
Speaking of getting our shit together, we do have a very busy episode today because...
Busy
queens. Our special guest today is none other than RuPaul's Drag Race winner and star of We Are Here and star of...
Loads of things.
Bob. What is the name of the one on Netflix? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that again. Speaking of busy queens and speaking of getting our shit together, our very special guest today that we have to prepare for is RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8 winner, star of We Are Here and Netflix Tales of the City, Miss Bob the Drag Queen.
Ooh, Bobina, love it.
Bobina. I love a good comedy queen. That's two comedy queens now in our first 4 episodes of Season 2, Ben de la Creme and then Bob the Drag Queen. We're spoiling you.
4, including us. I mean, hi.
Oh, well, yes. Comedy Central Queen and Leash Queen.
I'm not from Leash.
So before we do get to Robert the Drag Queen, it is, of course, time for a gay gasp. And we are joined by... Maybe I am hungover. It's still a 3-day hangover.
I've never seen you this melted before, this gas.
No, it's bad, girl. Okay. So it is, of course, time for Gay Gasp. And we have been bringing in special guests each week to join yourself, myself, oh my God, can you please introduce the segment? I can't do it!
So not only have we got Miss Bob the Drag Queen on the pod today, we are heading on over to our segment Gay Gasp with our resident queer correspondent, Max. And of course, we are joined by special guest today,
James Mack, Season 2, Top 2 of Glow Up on the BBC, which I'm really excited about.
Yes!
What is wrong with us?
Gay Gasp. Trashy Pop TV with Candy Max and Kiki.
Gay Gasp.
It's camp, queer, and kooky, so gather your best Judy's.
Gay Gasp. Chic chic.
Gay Gasp.
Okay, so we are back and it is time for Gay Gasp with our resident queer expert, Max, and very special guest, top 2 finalist on Hoarders, it is James Mack.
Yay!
How are you, queen?
Hey! I know you had to dig deep for that information.
I did. How are you, James?
I am grand chickens. I am the land of where I hail from, and I guess you could say I'm in quarantine because I just come back from a gig across the waters. So I'm just... living it up with the cows and sheep, you know, miss my gals.
The cows and sheep, yes. Like, are you in the middle of absolutely nowhere in Ireland?
Kinda. Well, like, my mum would slap me. It's like, in near Port Leash, in County Leash. Yeah, come on, depression. But, yeah. But no, honestly, it could be worse places. And I've literally just, been living my last 12 months in the studio.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I know some people might give out for being in the middle of nowhere. But, like, I feel... lucky being in a suburb, as I'm sure you would as well. I mean, imagine being stuck in a tiny, like, bedroom in the middle
of London. Well, that would have been the situation. That was, like, the situation of life pre-COVID. And I just moved into, like, the non-cutest, smallest one-bed flat, like, the first week of March. So it's actually turned out to be a storage room for the last 12 months. And yeah, I've no complaints. When, like, you know, when the gig ain't happening, I'm already back here anyways. So it's oddly working out. Yeah. And I mean, I've had a few things here and there going on to kind of like distract me for the last couple of months.
Yeah. What have you been up to for the last like few months? Like, how have you been passing your days besides talking to the pigs and the sheep?
Doing grammar lessons with them. things kind of kicked off with the show last year and then just capitalizing on that and then realizing that I had to more or less become a content creating queen. It's just, you know, it's like things are happening, things are not happening. I mean, no one has a clue. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
It could be worse. Yeah, it is. It's a funny bundle.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously for our listeners, yes, you were top two on Hoarders, but you were also top two on Glow Up. And we were talking to a few Rue girls as well about this who had to sit in quarantine when their show was airing. Like, we were supposed to miss Cracker and she had to watch herself on All Stars while sitting in an apartment and couldn't go anywhere. Was that bizarre as well, like not getting to do like gigs and go and do appearances and stuff?
Yeah, right, like absolutely. We had like, you know, a whole press release, we had a whole tour. I was looking into a plan of going to New York to do a few things. That all went out like, you know, hot potato, dropped to the floor. And in the moment I remember being like, well, fuck this for my drag. But it was at the same time a blessing because I actually got to come home. My mom and dad wouldn't have had a hope of getting a VPN, just going to say it, because you can't watch it in Ireland yet. And nonetheless though, because we were at home, we all got to see it. And it kind of like, they really understand more about what I do, especially like as a freelancer, full-time job as a makeup artist. And I try my best to kind of keep it as engaged in the creative side of the industry. And obviously it's very drag and, you know, invested as well. And I kind of like made a career flip after going to college originally. Then I was like, nope, want to do makeup. So they're very much just putting a lot of trust into my hands to just go and make it work. So being back and actually getting to explain the show and seeing them watch it, you know, they have a definitely different level of understanding and respect.
Have you, you did the Machia live recently and you were talking about you started drag.
Yes. And like, it's funny thing, I started drag like in 2019, 18, it was kind of like dipping in and out. And then, you know, because I so busy, I suppose, as my main job being makeup, it was kind of whenever I had like a free moment and like the will to do so. But girl, full geesh, all into it now. Feel the body, out of the essence. I actually thought,
what's the drag name?
The drag name is Miss J Mac. Literally, J Mac. It's done. It's done in the bag. I can see it.
Just getting that branding queen.
100%. It's so funny because one of my sisters, Maura Dara, sent me like a meme of like, it's literally J. My name is James Mac. So it was a quick abbreviation. And then I said, okay, let's like, you know, zhush it up a bit, like J-A-Y-E. And then there's that stupid meme about Homer Simpson finding out his middle name is Homer J. Simpson. And I was like, thanks, girl, for realizing that. I put so much thought into this.
That's so good.
Oh, I don't know. It keeps
And have you gotten to perform yet?
Yeah, I was doing performances. Like, I mean, I sound like I did a lot. I can probably count on one hand. At the start of 2019, I was booked and blessed. I was just like, you know, 3 gigs in a month.
What kind of style were you going for?
I was going for, you know, the look was very much what I was about, and like I would even say the creative stuff. So this under eye like ball sack lash thing that I do, kind of a mix of like some, you know, culture reference points and song, yeah, like glam beat and kind of feminine energy, but then it could be like weird and alien-esque. I also slightly don't know because I didn't get to do much performances, and when like the digital drag era, yeah, like last year there was so much digital drag, but then once the show came out, I just found myself 24/7 really honing in on all the makeup content and like the collaborations of brands and stuff, and like that is somewhat in itself sometimes drag, but I haven't done an actual digital drag performance yet because I haven't made a doppelganger as such. I haven't had two me's on the go just yet.
I mean, James, it's interesting for you though because you're obviously a fantastic makeup artist, so you're really cutting out the awkward looking like shit drag queen moment that everybody has for that little bit of character building. It's like we all look like shit, so we're all sisters. When you walk in, well, I suppose you haven't walked into a dressing room yet, but when you do, are you like going to be fucking Trixie Mattel walking in for her first show and everyone else is just bitch.
So I remember last year thinking, oh my God, this is going to kick off. We're doing work when the show came out. I'd be busy traveling. I was starting to like get some bookings in East London to do a few numbers in March. And then mama, like, you just put a light to that, sure. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's, well, yeah, all of our lives are somewhat put on hold until the real thing comes back. And I'd love to do more of it because I just love, like, well, makeup and masterclasses I've done. Like, that in itself is another style of stage performance. So it's all that energy. I'm just here for that energy, period.
Yeah, plus your drag will grow so much when you are doing those shows because you're going to be around queens and kings and club kids and you're actually going to see them perform. And that's where when the real shit starts happening, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, let's get into some gay gasping because there's a lot happening this week. Kiki St. Clair, let's start with you, my love.
Folks, have we all seen the new Steps reunion with the wonderful Michelle Visage? What do we think?
Oh. I love it. Like, I wouldn't really get my steps in on a daily basis, but I was out for a little cycle down country lanes and, like, I was singing it there, like, going over a few bumpy rocks. I was like, you have your mind made up. Listen to the telephone. So, like, it's catchy. I think it's, like, really catchy. And I think it's so, like, that cheesy pop coming back again because, well, everything about that is just so trendy.
I was exploding with excitement about the fact that it was a new fucking Step song. And everyone else in my whole little circle of friends were like, yeah, that's great. And I was like, fuck's sake. And you know what the thing is? It's actually a pretty good song. Like, it's not peak comeback Steps, but it's nearly there. It's nearly there. And I did like it.
I was a mild fan of them back in the day. Like, I loved some of the, like, The Way You Make Me Feel and Heartbeat and all that type of stuff. But I think their new content is way stronger. I think they're like when they came back with Scared of the Dark, I thought that was incredible. I think they're making music for early 30-year-old gays, you know, poppered up in the glory in London, and they're doing their job correct. I think the original version on the album is great. I was wondering what Michelle Visage was going to be like on the track. Is she good? Yes. Is it as good as the original one? No. I don't think she is able to keep up with Claire and Faye and Lisa, but I did think she did a brilliant job of singing live on the Graham Norton show. I was just waiting for them to actually dance. It was
a little stiff.
It was, you know, when it's your first drag performance and you're doing a group number, you're like, girls, let's do Lady Marmalade, or like, let's do Bang Bang, and we're going to walk to the left and we're going to walk to the right, and for the finale, we'll walk to the front. That was what that was.
That is very me in a group number. I can severely relate to Michelle Visage.
Handography 101. They were like getting all the limp wrist action in for the kids.
Max, let's move on now. I'm terrified to hear what you have to say for the week, but let's move on to you.
No, folks, I'm just absolutely gagged and delighted that it's the time of year again. Well, it's been a little while, but it's the time of year again that American Horror Story comes back onto our screens and the gays get chatting and the little birds start tweeting about what we think it's going to be like for the season. And of course, if you guys have obviously seen the trailer, and it's going to be split in two halves, two different stories this time. So a lot of people have been saying that this is, you know, kind of really scraping the bottom of the barrel for American Horror Story, and that it's going to be, you know, the run out of ideas. So I was thinking, folks, what are your opinions on it, and what would you think it's going?
Why would you think it's scraping the barrel? Because they have two stories in one.
Yeah, because a lot of people online have been saying, well, this is it. After Apocalypse, after 1984, we're like, you know, we're running out of ideas. And, you know, here they're splitting it into two stories because for the last while they haven't had the best track record of making one of these seasons be interesting for a full season.
For a full season. If you thing, know what I mean. Yeah,
Apocalypse kind of fizzled out. 1984 yeah, kind of fizzled out a little bit. So
it's always like, hold on, actually, guys, we got you, and there's another story. It's weird as well because it's American Horror Story. If they just kept it simple like they did in the first few seasons.
Oh, big time, absolutely.
They could literally go through all the iconic monsters and stories. They don't have to complicate it. It's like we all just love the classic horror stories. We were talking as well, Max, about Ryan Murphy has such a brilliant habit of bringing maybe actresses that need that little bit of a career lift into the show, and who would we like to see brought into the show?
I think Daryl Hannah would be freaking amazing. Been obsessed with her since Kill Bill, and you could see her in a role in Horror Story as well. I think that'd be so cool. And what's she done lately? God bless her. Give her a chance, Ryan Murphy. I know you listen.
You know what? I've said this for ages, and it's not like she doesn't have an acting pedigree. Fucking Cher. Bring Cher onto American Horror Story. Cher will be absolutely iconic.
Well, listen, if the budget isn't there, he can just get Cher Lloyd as well. One of them will just be like scary than the other.
Could you imagine the big reveal and it's Cher Lloyd?
Oh my god, sorry. Open like the downstairs bathroom to the Transylvanian toilet and just be like, who left the shit in the toilet?
Cher Lloyd, right. Absolutely.
Disgusting!
Oh my god, I feel like the next series should be called Disgusting. Series 11. It'll have it smeared all over it.
I was thinking about this the other day. I always feel like it needs to be a good actress who's had iconic movies in the past, but like maybe needs a little uplift. I think Faye Dunaway.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Yes. I agree with that.
Iconic Mommy Dearest and the villain in Supergirl. Which I just watched 2 nights ago. James, what have you, any exciting things to look forward to for the next few months?
Well, if anyone wants a little bit of JMac in their life, they can go to jamesmacgregor.com. There's a lovely selection of merch available. Things that are from Glow Up, things that are like what my followers have voted as their best looks. I am doing some really exciting collaborations that will be coming out soon. I'm looking at starting up some more YouTube video content because she was never into the social media queen before. It literally was like thrown onto her lap with the show. And then hopefully I'm just looking to get into more drag and just, I want to collaborate. Literally, I would love to paint all your girls' faces, like make it a thing. And I think just become a lot more invested in, well, the Irish queer community foremost, but wherever I'm based, just being involved in the queer community, because there's been, without being on a serious note, like just so much progression and change. And like before the show, I wouldn't have had any confidence per se, where now I spent a year literally putting on lashes and lipsticks that I have a much better idea, and I just want to get out there and like share an experience with other queens and people in the community and just be a part of it. It sounds very innocent and, you know, well kept and country like of me to say, but yeah, I'm a take over the world.
James, my queen, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much. So nice to meet you all, ladies, and thank you for literally a big wide opening of gay knowledge. So
okay, okay. Talk to you later, girls. Love you lots.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Gay gasping, Kiki, and as I can see, so do you. But it is time to pull up your pants and get ready for Robert the Drag Queen.
I'm all gassed out, girl. I need to catch my breath. I need to catch my breath.
You're all gassed out. Oh, I can see, my love. I can see. So it is, of course, time for Bob the Drag Queen. And before she comes on, myself and Kiki just watched her new comedy special, mm-hmm. which was fucking gas. It was so funny. I'm not a major fan of stand-up comedy, but she was really funny. And I think it's because I'm so used to just seeing like straight male comedy like on TV, and it was really funny. We could actually relate.
Yeah, the only stand-up I watch is drag and female comics. No time for that straight male energy on stage. So I very much enjoy Bob's stand-up.
No time for that shenanigans in this pod. So before we welcome Bob the Drag Queen, let's play a little snippet, and she will be signing in just a few minutes, but let's listen to a little bit of her comedy special.
Roll the clip.
I brought my purse out here because I'm want to show you all that I'm very proud that I could afford it, and because I don't know these motherfuckers and comedians still. Okay? Okay, first of all, my name is Bob the Drag Queen. I'm a drag... Woo! So, I was on a reality television show. It's called RuPaul's Drag Race, right? Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. Has anyone here been on a reality TV show? Good. Okay, just me. Okay, so I won. I won the show. I did. This guy goes, she won? He's like, what did the other motherfuckers look like? So I won. Okay, I won $100,000, and it was on TV, okay? This was, yeah, I know. It was... But you're saying wow because you live in Austin. Bitch, I live in Manhattan. I won $100,000 three fucking years ago and people still think I have money. Okay, listen, that is not how that works. Okay, and I used to live in Alabama. If I still lived in Alabama, they'd be like, what, three houses and a trust fund for generations to come? I live in Manhattan. That's like three vodka sodas and like a splurge at the Cheesecake Factory with my friends. You know what I mean? I live in New York City, which means I think I'm better than you. And and I'm gay, which means I am better than you. And New Yorkers were always like, New York is the best city in the world. We always say that. New York is the best city in the world. It's the best city in the world. Like on a postcard. But if you're in New York City, there is no fucking proof. It's, first of all, the weather is shitty 9 months out of the year. It smells like garbage on every street you turn. And I always say, you think you know what piss smells like, and then you move to New York City. Like, oh, that's what piss smells like. This is news to me. I also, what is most interesting thing to me about being a big drag, and I'm a big lady, all right? I'm what they call in Harlem an SLW, a suspiciously large woman, okay?
How are you, girl?
There.
How's your day going, my love?
I was in a meeting, and then I kind of rushed over here. I had to get home. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't an in-person meeting. I just want to be
clear. Oh, yeah.
It was a Zoom meeting, but then I had to rush here because I had to leave where I was. And now I'm back. So I haven't done a whole lot today. It's a lot earlier here than it is where you are.
When did you move to LA?
About a month ago.
And how's it going for you?
How's it going? It's going well. It's going well. I mean, I have no complaints.
What made you kind of decide to go to LA and leave New York? Like, you're such an iconic New York queen.
Well, I moved here. It really stemmed from me trying to buy a house, and you can just get a bigger house in the LA area than you can in the New York area.
Of course. Come here, we just watched your comedy special.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, it was so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad we loved it.
So much fun. Yeah, we loved it.
I'm really proud of that special. I'm really, really, really proud of it.
Really good.
We were talking earlier, you know, especially over here, you watch so many comedy specials and it's just nothing but straight guys. So it was so refreshing to see you.
Hey guys, you know what it's like when you're straight and then like another guy, you're both straight and then you watch football? Yeah, that's good stuff. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know what that's
no.
like.
Really and the terrified straight guy in your audience. Like, so funny.
I love scaring straight guys. It's one of my passions in life.
You paint such a beautiful picture as well of New York in the comedy special. I mean, the smells of the subway and everything really come through. Do you find a huge difference as a working queen being in LA compared to New York?
Well, I mean, I've been to LA. This is not my first time in LA. So it's not like I moved to a place I'd never been before. And I spent a lot of time in LA. So I mean, a big difference, you know, LA is just a lot slower. New York is a place where it is moving very fast. And if you do not move with it, imagine it like a subway platform, if you will. You know, the subway platform, when everyone gets off at Times Square, you just kind of get swept up in the crowd and you have to move at the same pace as everyone else, or you're going to get trampled or pushed onto the tracks. And those who don't get trampled or pushed on the track, you kind of just get swept up and you move along with the crowd.
I would be honestly terrified to do the subway in New York. Like, London is bad enough on the tube. The last time I was there, a working woman, like office woman, pushed me out of the way to get onto the tube. Like,
down into the tube.
Down into the tube, yeah. Jesus. Little country queen just trying to get to a gig, being trampled by an office worker, fuck's sake.
Where are you from? Like a small town?
And I'm just on the west.
Yeah, she's in the west in Galway, and I'm in Cork City in the south. Do you know Cork City?
Oh, Cork City in the south of Ireland. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, Cork City. That's the town with the McDonald's. They have that house. I love Cork City. I used to, every summer I said, I'm going to Cork City. try to stop me from going to Cork City.
The beautiful bar is the one with the drinks.
The bar with the drinks.
You know the one, yeah.
You know, I was in Ireland once and I got into a big stink in Ireland.
Oh, God.
There was like a whole Reddit post about me and the people were mad at me because they said I was mean.
I'm completely mortified already.
Well, I had a few interactions.
Hold on, okay, do you actually go on Reddit and read the comments, girl?
Oh, I love reading the comments. So I was in this bar one time, this guy came up to me, he was like, it was this really loud club. It wasn't a bar, it was like a venue. Mm-hmm. It was like after the show, so it turned back into like a nightclub. Mm-hmm. And this guy was like, I love John RuPaul's Drag Race. No, that's not what he said. What he said was, he said, yeah, now I want you to know, I saw you on your season and I didn't like you. And I said, what? Yeah, I watched you on your season and I didn't like you. And I said, well, you know, I don't know how I feel about you either at this moment. And he goes, no, but now I love you. Me and my boyfriend, and we both love you. And I said,
fuck off.
Well, the jury's still out on you.
Oh, yes.
I love
like,
it.
Like,
get whatever, out.
A stranger walked up to me and said, when I first met you, I didn't like you. And I was like, well, I don't think I'm feeling too strong for you either. And then he got mad when I was like, when he was like, no, but I like you now. And I was like, well, I'm still, you know, ruminating on you. And he didn't like that. And then he went to Reddit and told everyone that.
Of course he did.
He goes, I was at the club. And first of all, the first three times he said it, I couldn't understand what he said. I didn't know what he said because there's an accent.
Yeah.
We were in a very loud club. And I was like, it took me the three times to be like, wait, I mean, it's not like I was in Scotland. It took me the three times to be like, wait, what are you saying? And then when I did hear what he said, I didn't like what he said. And I told him that. And he thought that I was mean.
But he was clearly looking for some sort of confrontation when he opened up a conversation.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I didn't like you. Like, what was he expecting?
Yeah, attention.
I was like, girl, well, I mean, well, here we go. Round one. Ding, ding, ding. So another weird thing I had in Ireland, I was at, what's that club in Ireland? It's like called like the Boom. Wait, it's called like.
Oh, up in Belfast, up the north, is it?
Boombox.
Boombox. I was in Boombox. And these two queens came up to me.
Oh, fuck.
And they were like, we're just like, they were British though. I think they were British. They were like, all right, love, you know, we're just like you. We have a lot in common. And I was like, oh, okay. They were like, well, you know, I do comedy. You do comedy. We both do comedy.
Oh, no.
And who is this? People think that we have, offensive stuff we say, but we're a lot like each other. And I was like, all right. And then I went and I looked up their materials and it was so offensive.
Wow.
I could not believe they thought we were similar. There was this group called the Queens of Pop. And
oh no, not that.
Them. And yeah. They did this this like Will I Am parody about Will I Am. They were in blackface.
Sorry.
And it was all like Will I Am being like gay and having AIDS and how he spreads AIDS. And then they were like,
oh my
God. We both do comedy. We're the same. And I was like, I was like, I don't know what makes you think we're doing the same thing.
What the fuck?
But, and that was the same. So then I was at that club and I was really, it was the end of the tour. And I was hanging out with Cheddar Gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
And I had done this meet and greet where it was like a meet and greet after the show. And it was like, not a lot of people came to the meet and greet, which is weird because a lot of people came to the show. But I guess the meet and greet didn't get announced properly. So like no one knew I was in the corner doing the meet and greet. And then after the show, I got out of drag and me and Cheddar were hanging. Me and Cheddar and, what's her name? Who's the one that Cheddar's always hanging out with? Oh, she's going to kill me for not remembering her name.
Anaphylactic.
Anaphylactic, yeah. Me, Cheddar, and Anaphylactic were all hanging out. And, we were like hanging out. We were like, can I get a picture? I was like, I'm not doing pictures anymore. Like I did the whole meet and greet. It was free, by the way. The meet and greet was free.
Oh.
I was like, I sit there for like an hour and we didn't have, I'm just trying to hang out.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't like that. I still had, like, you know when you first get out of drag and you got all the shit around your eyes. And I was like, but also, it was like, I did the whole meet and greet. And I was like, now I'm just trying to hang out with Cheddar and Anaphylactic. And then that was the same night that I got the, it was like two or three, like, nasty Reddit posts about me in one go around. Maybe I could find them.
Jesus.
And read them to you.
Okay, Ireland, we need to make it up to Bob the Drag Queen. So when he comes back the next time, we need to give him a proper Irish warm welcome.
Seriously. Or just stay away from the north, please. The north queens are not it, obviously.
Don't mind those up north.
You need to do like a podcast series or a YouTube series where you call people out.
I mean, honestly, I should do a whole episode. Yeah, I need to do a whole thing where I like respond to things people said about me on Reddit. Like, it's wild.
Yes, that is a YouTube video waiting to happen.
I'll do it and I'll credit you all.
Yay.
Those Queens of Pop though, like, they're vile. Like, I actually always thought they were straight. I didn't think that they were.
You think they're what?
I thought they were straight. I mean, like, their drag is so bad. And like,
I mean, I can't confirm or deny that they seem pretty gay when I met them, but okay. I can't confirm or deny their bedroom activities though.
Kiki, can you fact check that for us, please, before we move on?
And I'm scanning through, by the way, while you're talking, just so you know, I'm scanning through to see if I can possibly find that Reddit post. And if so, I will regale you.
Please do. Do you find it hard not to respond to like YouTube or Instagram or like Reddit comments? Like, did they work you up?
No, I did a video with my boyfriend, and then we were talking the other day, and there were some comments in there about how he looked unhappy during the video. And then I was basically saying, like, you know, reading the comments is like a new thing. Like once you start reading the comments, it's like, and I've read there are people in the world who like, there are people who can read the comments and people who probably shouldn't read the comments, and navigating what that's like. And I remember once I started reading them, there were a few moments where I was like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, this is mean. And then there were other times where I was like, some of this is just entertaining how ridiculous it is, you know?
How did your boyfriends feel though? Because they probably wouldn't be used to this whole kind of like spotlight commenting under YouTube videos. Were they bothered or?
I think you have to ask them. I mean, I think that it has an effect on you the first couple times when you read something and everyone's like, and people are interpreting something in you that isn't true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's much smaller scale now, but the Comedy Central show that I present, like when that first came out, I remember being so excited and not even thinking about reading the comments, because in my head I was like, oh, it's about drag and it's so like uplifting and positive. Why would people dislike this? And I got my first death threats like on day one, and like I remember getting a message saying, you know, oh, this show will only be funny when you're burned alive.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry I wrote that. I was jealous. I apologize.
For fuck's sake.
I had a couple of drinks that day. You have to excuse me.
And you know what? I was talking to Tia Coffey about this as well, because again, she's going through it on a bigger scale, but I find it even worse when we get comments like that from our own community. Like I got horrible comments from like queens and like other queers, and they're about stuff that like I can't fix, like, oh, fix your lace, like I can see your lace, or you're not cinched properly. And I'm like, do you want me to go back in time, bitch?
Well, sometimes the critiques are valid and it just hurts to hear it.
That's fair. Yeah,
you know, sometimes it reaches on an insecurity that you have about yourself, and I'm like, maybe I could lose a little weight. I'm heavier than I was when I was on TV, and having people say it does hurt my feelings, because quite frankly I agree.
fair, but like, yes bitch, I can see that I need to clean my lace, but fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I agree with you, it's time to clean my lace.
Speaking of shows as well, early in our first season, we had Garcia from Tales of the City, which we were like both obsessed with. What was that like, filming that and working with so many like incredible people?
I mean, it was really nice. Laura Linney, Olympia Dukakis, Ellen Page, and Garcia. There's so many. I mean, so here's a funny story. I was sitting there's no backstage, but like in the house. You know the house that that Olympia Dukakis. In the house, because they were filming it somewhere else, we were kind of just being held in that house. Just hanging out, and this lady came in, and I was like, "Hi, what's your name?" And "My name is Bob." She goes, "Oh, it's nice to meet you. My name is Molly." I said, "Hey, Molly, nice to meet you. What brings you?" She goes, "I'm an actor on set." I said, "Oh my God, well, that's amazing." I said, "I'm playing the bar manager." "And what are you playing?" She goes, "I'm playing." I think she was playing something else, and I was like, "Well, anyway, so we talked for like maybe like 10 minutes. I go, it was nice to meet you." And then as she was leaving, someone goes, "Miss Ringwald."
Oh my God.
Said, "Please." So I had this whole conversation with Molly Ringwald. I was like, "So who are you? What brings you here?" "Oh, Molly. Well, best of luck. Best of luck to you." "Is it Molly? Molly?" "Best of luck to you, Molly."
Making her debut, oh, Molly Ringwald.
"Miss Ringwald to set, please. Miss Ringwald. Miss Ringwald." I was like, Oh, and I haven't watched it all the time. One time I was at the premiere of Cherry Pop in New York City, and there was this guy backstage I was talking to, and I looked at him, I was like, "You look so familiar." And he was like, "I don't know." I said, "Have I met you?" He goes, I don't think we've met." I said, "Well, my name's Bob." And he told me his name. And I was like, he said, "My name's Calvin." I said, "Nice to meet you, Calvin. Pleasure to meet you." And then he just left. And then Milk came by, and Milk was like, "Calvin is just so humble." And I said, "Humble? Like, what do you mean? Like, if someone says you're humble, it's in relation to your stature normally, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Humble? Like, what do you mean humble?" And he was like, "You don't think Calvin Klein is humble?" And I was like, "Oh, wait a minute." But it made it weird because he was a judge on my season of Drag Race, and he did remember me, but I think he was embarrassed that I didn't remember him.
Oh my God.
So he was like, "Oh, I don't know if we've met." Like, bitch, you were fully sitting at the goddamn judge's table on the Wizard of Oz episode.
It's Mark Jacobs.
Mark Jacobs. Oh, it was Mark Jacobs. My boyfriend.
I knew it.
I did it again. He was like, "My name's Mark." That's what it was. "My name's Mark." And I was like, "Oh, Mark. Hi, Mark." And then Milk was like, "Oh my God, Mark Jacobs is so..."
Oh, that is brilliant.
"Mark is so humble." I was like, "What makes Mark so fucking humble? You don't think Mark Jacobs is humble?"
Bitch, I knew that was Mark Jacobs, and I was not about to correct you. No, I was like,
Mark Jacobs. It was Mark Jacobs.
You've actually played a lot of roles in drag and out of drag as well, which you don't really see a lot. Was that important for you, kind of showing both sides?
Well, it's not about like the importance of acting out of drag. I don't necessarily, there are just more opportunities. If you act in drag and out of drag, you get both the roles. So I auditioned for stuff out of drag as well, which does feel nice. I mean, it's easier to get ready. When you don't have to get in drag. I mean, I remember doing a show called Playing House, and I had a scene out of drag, and I was like, this is so easy.
Filming in drag must be a nightmare, though. Like, those long days and the heat and the uncomfortableness.
I mean, the answer is yes, it is a nightmare, and it's even more of a nightmare when you're around people who don't know what's up with drag, or the fact that you, like, can't be in full drag for 10 hours. And you're like, I gotta... Or if you go, I gotta use the bathroom, and they're like, oh, see you in 5 minutes. We're like, no, bitch, you'll see me tomorrow.
It's not going to take 5 minutes.
I'm like, you'll see me once Nevada's done counting the electoral votes. I don't know how well that joke translates in Ireland, but in America,
oh no, we're following, girls.
I'll say, but in America, it would be a smash hit in America. yeah, but that's how it is. I just did a film here in LA, and it's COVID-19, so you have to go to set with a mask on. And I'm like, well, I can't wear that. I'm like, I can't wear that mask. And they're like, you're gonna have to wear that mask. And I'm like, I know, but like, I can't. Yeah, but we're gonna need you to wear the mask.
Oh no.
So I was like, I will cover my whole head.
I will put
a suitcase on my head. Like, if you guide me through the world. It looks, I don't, like, you know, have to wear that mask.
Oh my god.
So annoying.
That show as well that I told you I filmed, I would never cause a fuss, but every single morning we would come in and the crew members would have the heating on full blast, like wind machines. We would never cause a fuss, but we would be like, I'm not going on set till you turn that the fuck off.
Exactly. Absolutely not.
Queens and makeup.
No. Girl, please.
What about you when you were young? Were you always into performing and always into acting and drag?
Well, I guess, I don't know. I really enjoyed being on stage. I like attention. I mean, if I'm really making, I know some folks are like, I want to connect to people. I just love attention. I love making people laugh.
Fair.
And I'm really good at it. So I gravitated toward it. I excelled at it once I started trying it.
Did you have someone when you were really young, like a comedy person that you were really attracted to that inspired you?
Yeah. I mean, my two biggest influences as a kid were Whoopi Goldberg and Carol Channing. I love them. I have this cute tote bag with like a picture of Whoopi on one side, and you flip it and there's a picture of Carol on the other side.
Amazing.
I have Whoopi Goldberg and Carol Channing tattoos on my body.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. I love them so much. I remember every weekend I would rent Alice in Wonderland with Carol Channing.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
Do you think I just turned gay yesterday? Of course I've seen Carol Channing. As the white queen in Alice in Wonderland.
It's so good. So many people haven't seen that. The jam today, so good.
The rule is jam tomorrow, jam yesterday, but never, ever jam today.
Yeah. So I'm obsessed with her in it. It's so good.
My favorite is when she goes, that's not my notion of the thing at all. It's my favorite line from the thing. That's not my notion of the thing at all.
Isn't it weird when we see these things as kids? Like, I always say this, but like, as queer people, we're like attracted to the same things.
Oh, yeah. I remember one day I was in seventh grade. I was at Six Flags and I heard this song and I was like, oh my God, this song is great. I think it was my first time hearing a song from this artist. I was like, wow. And then my mom came to pick me up. I said, I heard this song today that was amazing. It was called Life After Love.
Oh girl, here we go.
And my mom was like, oh, okay. I see. Like, I remember standing in line and hearing, like, swirl, you know, the
after love.
And, like, it coursed my body, and I heard Cher go, no matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside and can't break through. And, like, having my own gay visceral reaction to the song while standing in line for the Superman roller coaster at Six Flags.
Amazing.
And that was her gay moment. Then it happened.
Oh, there it is.
Oops.
And there it is.
Kiki, how old were you when you came out for the 100th time?
Oh, 21, God love them, like, and they're not, like, not very conservative, like, but God, you'd think they were blind or something.
I was saying, are your parents,
oh, God, don't.
Like, were you only communicating during text for the first 21 years of your life?
Just sign language and Braille.
Like, I mean, they named you Kiki.
What do they expect?
My word, darling, have you heard the word about our homosexual child? I do believe he's a homosexual, darling. What are we going to do here? I don't know why your parents have a British accent.
I was like, Kiki is British now. Obviously, she's a British queen.
Oh, my word. I do believe we have a homosexual on our hands.
Can we get her on Downton Abbey, maybe? Bob, we were talking as well. Obviously, me and Kiki are from small enough towns compared to where you're from. Did you find it intimidating going to the tiny towns when you were filming We're Here?
No, I mean, We're Here wasn't my first time doing drag in small towns. It was just the first time I had a big camera crew following me around.
I do have a feeling it was probably your first time arriving in a giant purse.
Well, I don't want to break everyone's hearts, but we didn't actually drive those purses.
My heart.
I mean, I don't. Okay, I don't have a driver's license, Candy. I can't.
That's me done.
I know. I wasn't even in it. I was inside that purse one time. So I would arrive on set in a 16-passenger van. That would look so very funny. Unglamorous. And I was usually laying flat in the back so that my hair wouldn't get, or because of my corset was too tight. And then I would wiggle out and then I'd go stand next to my big purse and then act like I had walked
out. That's my childhood ruined now, Bob.
I know. Crushed.
First the Spice Girls boss and then me on We're Here. Now I'm done.
Yeah, there it is. Well, you're also going to find out, you're also going to gag when you realize that those RVs that we drove around in, they broke down after like the second or third shoot. So they were just on flatbed trucks being driven from town to town and then placed somewhere. And then they didn't even operate. The only one that worked was Eureka's.
Well, she just had it rigged, obviously. Did you get a lot of like, what the fucks? Or did the people in the town, were they aware that you were coming? Like, what was the reaction?
Well, I mean, we got a lot of what the fucks. from people. I mean, Gettysburg, we got a lot of that. In Branson, we got the cops called on us 3 times just for being around. They're like, oh my God, these. Yeah, I mean, I think the town with the smallest reaction was probably the town where we got the smallest reaction was in Twin Falls. That's because there was no one outside. If you look at Twin Falls, like, we go out, there's just no one there.
Well, I got you an Emmy nomination, girl. Congratulations.
Emmy nominated, yes. Congrats. Yeah. That's unreal.
Oh, thank you. We lost the Emmy to Cheer, which is a great show.
Those damn fucking cheerleaders.
If you haven't seen Cheer, as Candy Warhol's parents would say, oh, darling, you absolutely must go watch Cheer. It's a rubbish show.
Have you started going back to filming yet? Is that on the cards?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think they have provisions where we can film it during the pandemic, and we're going to be starting pretty soon, hopefully.
Amazing. My parents will be delighted. Something else that you've done that completely blew my mind was your silky nutmeg ganache tutorial, my love. That was quite triggering.
Yeah, the silky tutorial was a wild ride, a roller coaster of emotions, if you will. It was truly insane.
I was honestly having heart palpitations the entire time. I didn't think you were going to get the makeup off.
But I want to do a redo. I want Silky to come do the makeup for me and like redeem me and herself and like,
yes, show me, please, how it's done, you know? We need to see that. Speaking of possible shows, by the way, Bob, I want to pitch you another new idea. Obviously, you posted your video a few months back with your two boyfriends. And I thought what ABC Family really needs every Sunday night is Bob the drag queen and her two boyfriends. Could you imagine sitcom music, you coming home, honey, I'm home, and then Bob the drag queen has two boyfriends.
Yeah,
you're welcome, and we'll sign the contract now.
There it is.
You're welcome. I knew you'd love it.
Oh, well, now Candy, I am going to take that one. I'm not going to give you any credit for that one.
I did actually think that video that you posted with your two boyfriends was brilliant. Like, I find it very eye-opening. What made you decide to go public and do that video?
Yeah, I mean, to me, there were a few comments that have been like, I think Bob's just doing this to be different. And I'm like, first of all, bitch, I've been them indifferent. Let me say, I was like, if you think I'm typical, and you think this is the thing that's going to send me over the edge, you're something else. But also, I think that stems from a conversation where people are just not capable of understanding anything outside of themselves. And because it's not like them, they just don't get it. Also, my thing is this too. You'll know when I'm looking for attention. I'll be in a great big dress yelling, please give me attention. I'll have glitter on my face, a big, you know, feather plume sticking out of my head. There will be no doubt about when I want attention. You'll know. Speaking of
attention, just one line that just came back to me from the comedy special was how you spoke about every good drag queen needs to be delusional.
Oh, yeah.
When I heard you say that, I was like, oh, my God, that is it. That is me.
You have to be like, you have to believe it. You have to drink the Kool-Aid, as they say.
Yeah. Bob, I have to ask you quickly about one of your other YouTube videos you did recently with, I forget his name. He was the Christian kind of Trumper.
Christian Walker.
Yes,
Christian
Walker. That's him. That was just such a fascinating video. I was like, how did you get through that? Like, I think it takes a really gathered, intelligent person to be able to get through a conversation like that.
Well, I enjoy discourse and debate. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was great, and I believed firmly what I was saying, and I didn't, it didn't take a lot for me because I've been around people like that before. I grew up in the South. And I also remember thinking to myself, like, this is like, I believe what I'm saying. I don't know that Christian always believed what he was saying, but I'm grateful that he came and had a conversation.
100%. Yeah. Like, I just, so important to see. I was like, people can actually sit down and have these conversations and there's no shouting. Just kind of try to bring everyone together in some way or shape for him.
Yeah, we're going to have to reach across the aisle.
That's it.
Would you be nervous doing like in-person interviews, like going around doing that, like that interview in person?
I would meet with Christian and talk in person. I mean, I feel pretty, what's he going to do? Hit me? I mean, like, I feel pretty, what's he going to do? Beat me up? I mean, I feel pretty good about my position, you know?
Yeah. So going ahead, pandemic coming to a close, hopefully very soon. What are you looking forward to the next year and what projects do you have coming up?
Well, I'm working on season 2 of We're Here. So we're working on season 2 of We're Here. Excited to get that out. I've been writing a lot, doing a lot of writing. And that feels pretty good as well.
You've been able to stay creative, though.
Yeah, I haven't had a lack of creativity.
Yeah.
In myself, anyway.
Speaking of which, actually, creativity, I have to give a shout out to your Adams Family Halloween looks. I loved them.
Yes, loved it.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so sweet. I was planning on doing the whole family, but I did Morticia, Fester, and
Wednesday.
Mm. And I didn't get around to doing the other because I ended up moving like right in the middle of the whole thing. So I got 3 of the Addams Family.
And shout out to your houndstooth dresses as well.
So ridiculous.
Like iconic houndstooth dresses.
Yeah, the houndstooth was a really great moment in my career. I was very proud of that ridiculous idea. It was so stupid.
I loved it. And I'm hoping this moment, this interview has been a full circle moment for you. And we've made up for those past experiences in Ireland.
Yeah, I would love to come back to Ireland. I would love it. I enjoy it there. I want to come back to the UK and to Ireland and to, you know, the rest of Europe, Spain. I would love to get back on the road again.
She's getting those stamps in that passport, girl. That's great.
Well, no, I mean, I'm thinking about places I've been. I went to France. I went to Spain. I went to Italy. I went to Ireland, the UK, Helsinki.
Bus, plane, another club.
Just traveling around the Queen, traveling around Europe. Right?
Yeah, hopefully you're back on the road soon because I think the comedy special, we'd love that here.
I would love to bring some stand-up over to Ireland. I know y'all really enjoy stand-up in Ireland, which I love. So I love a place that enjoys a girl who likes to get on stage and just tell her jokes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we can't wait. I just can't wait to see that. Bob, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
It's been so lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Pick it back up, then you fall on your back. Act to the cat, boom, shaka, cat, shawam, boom, shaka, make sure you don't stop. Bring it back up and then gaff drop. Purse first. Walk to the room, purse first. Walk to the room, purse first. Ow, purse first. Walk to the room, purse first. Walk to the room, purse first. Purse first. Walk into the room, purse first.
Another iconic guest, Kiki St. Clair.
I know, I can't believe we got to speak with Bob. That was so interesting. I loved it so much.
Yeah. Bob, do you think she's sitting in LA being like, I cannot believe that I got to speak to Kiki St. Clair all the way in Leash?
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%. There was a big Instagram post about it.
Was there? Yes. Maybe your little residency for Bob and you in Leash. She could be your little assistant, maybe.
Yeah, well, whenever I move to Leash and have a gig in Leash, maybe we could do that in Leash. I don't know. But yeah, that's another episode down, girl. I can't believe it. We're flying through this season.
I'm fucking delighted with this season. We're getting to talk to so many iconic legends and it's non-stop gay gaspery and gaggery and goonery, and I can't wait for the series to continue. What are you up to for your weekend, my queen?
Oh my god, I mean
I love that. Tell me more.
The weekend. Well, it's the same thing we do every weekend, dear. Sweet.
Try to take over the world.
and that. Yeah, weekend schmeekend. There's no such thing as a weekend anymore. It all just rolls into one monotonous, depressive episode.
I meant to tell you as well. Remember last year we just kept referencing the afternoon show and Moira and Dahi?
Yeah.
So for any of our like foreign listeners, like non-Irish, basically, I mean, maybe even some people in Ireland, the afternoon show is just a daily show on our main broadcaster, RTE, with two of the worst hosts imaginable called Moira and Dahi.
Oh, harsh.
Oh, girl, harsh. They are fucking desperate. So I was in my Nana's house the other day, giving the house a little spring clean, and she had, of course, had the afternoon show on, and the topics were a phone-in quiz where Dahi read out the question, and the question was, what is the capital of Portugal? Is it A, Lisbon, or B, Tokyo? And then it cut to Moira, who was talking about the benefits of pseudocrim.
Oh, and what are the benefits of pseudocrim? Did you take any notes?
She started saying she was doing this whole routine of her trying to be relatable, and you know, like her running out to the postman in the morning as if like she doesn't have about 20 assistants. And she was like, and sometimes, Dahi, like I run out and I've got a pseudocrim on my nose like this. And she got the smallest dot and put it on her face. And she was like, I'd be mortified. And he's like, and what does that do, Moira? Does that do anything to your spots, is it?
Oh my god, that accent, I'm obsessed.
I was like, this is the country that we're in.
And we pay for RTE. And you get quality content like this, Friends of Dorothy, for free. So, I mean, what is this
we need
state
to set
we're living
something
in?
Up where people have to pay for this episode.
No one will hear the episode.
No, if you'd like to send us money, that would be great. Or if you'd like to follow us, go to Instagram at Friends of Dorothy Pod. Make sure to please subscribe, rate, and give us a nice review. Give us a 5-star review, no more than 5 paragraphs, please, we're begging you.
And be really specific in
be
it.
Be very
really
specific. Yes. Thank you so much for listening again this week, and we will be back, of course, next Tuesday with another episode of Friends of Dorothy. Until then, please don't go to Dubai and get your boobs done. Stay in Ireland till the lockdown lifts.
God bless.
Next week. So share us, follow us, tell us that you love us.
Bye bye.
Bye. Dorothy,
follow us on
with Friends of Dorothy.
And share this podcast, baby.